Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia. Nope, it's a waning dystopia now, guys. It's episode number 266 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, The Crap Bag discusses part two of the Mike Tyson doc. And Chad had a dream about me? We'll find out those details together. At 12:30, we look at the latest surrounding the NBA playoffs. And in mere minutes, Quinn Ewers provided a sobering perspective on why he flipped from Texas to Ohio State. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good start to June. Hope it's drying out a little bit where you are because the rain may be coming back to where you are soon. I hope everybody is having a great Wednesday. It is hump day. My daughter and wife and I have now become addicted to Jeopardy. So today's the day on Jeopardy where we get to scream hump day during the Geico ad. My daughter and I thoroughly enjoy that.
Okay.
It's the simple things in life.
Yeah, sure.
That's really it. This week is Mayim Bialik guest hosting, and she's doing a wonderful job.
She is, on top of being the star of TV's Blossom, she is also a PhD neuroscientist, I believe.
That is correct.
Very smart. She was a part of South by Southwest this year. I actually tried to get her on the show.
Really?
And came really close, but ultimately they declined.
I'm a huge fan of hers. I'm a Big Bang Theory guy, and she was a part of that show. She's been really good. If they want to go long-term with either Mayim Bialik, Aaron Rodgers, Ken Jennings, or maybe Anderson Cooper, I could live with all those. And also
Anderson Cooper, no.
And also the Buzzy guy, whatever his name is, the former winner they brought back, the cool glasses guy. He does a good job. A lot of hand motion, but I'm a hand motion guy. I got no problem with that.
Big pantomimer, are you?
He did a good job. He does the touching of the fingers, the mirror fingers out in front of you. He does that a lot. Mm. A lot of that, a lot of hands out in front of him, but he does a good job, and she's doing well.
Now, you can't sleep on who is it that was the guy behind Reading Rainbow who's going to get an opportunity later this summer.
Oh, is LeVar Burton going to do it?
LeVar Burton's going to be, he gets his chance finally.
That could be good.
People had to push for him to finally get this opportunity, but they've decided to go with LeVar Burton at some point this summer. I think he's going to have a lot to say about who that ultimate host is when it's all
I think LeVar could be excellent at that. I did not know. Somebody agrees with me, says Bialik is a quality host. Yeah, she's been doing a really good job so far. All right, so let's get started today with more great news. Trey mentioned that it is the waning dystopia, and it's gone from the modern to the waning dystopia, and
yes.
I'm seeing more and more things to let me know we're getting back to normal. In our building today, people are back in the office. This is our first day officially back in the office. We've been here the whole time.
Not everybody thrilled about that, I found out earlier today. I was like, normally I'm trying to avoid contact with other humans, but today I'll wish some folks a happy return to the offices. And I was met with a very mixed response.
We're going to have to let them ease back into it. Because you realize a lot of these people have been at home, able to work from home, haven't had to get dressed. In the case of the ladies that are wearing makeup, haven't had to put that makeup on, haven't had to do the hair every day. So there's a little extra work going on. There's guys that are now feeling the need to dress up in a way they haven't been dressing up.
Yeah, and some people have been really productive working from home,
true,
whereas others have not. And
right,
perhaps I just spoke with those who felt like they were doing as good, if not a better job at home than they were at the office.
I'm telling you, what you realize when you get back into the office is, man, I spent a lot of time standing around talking to people about nothing. I didn't know that. Yeah, maybe I was working better from home. So that's a part of things getting back to normal. But Trey, the news you gave me is the real way I know things are getting back to normal. Not just 30 of 32 NFL teams saying 100% capacity, not just the hope and the promise of college football as a whole getting back to 100% capacity, not just the Dish hosting a regional where everybody can show up and drink their Coors Light and have a good time. But the fried donuts and the fried butter and the fried chicken fried cinnamon madness and Big Tex and Texas OU is back in 2021. Texas State Fair, full power.
Yeah, Texas State Fair announced that they were allowing any and everyone to join them for the fair coming up. I think it starts technically in September and it goes all the way through the first half of October. And that's great news. Not surprising news at this point, Chad, but it's still great news hear that another entity like this, one that is used to crowds, especially on that Texas OU Saturday, we will be returning to those things. Because I took pictures and I actually posted them to Twitter and I think maybe even the Horns Twitter account prior to Texas OU this year.
That's right. You went to the ghost town version.
It was freaking sad, man.
Yeah.
It was like, if this is how it is next year, I'm not coming to the game.
I am. So in that weekend, what do they estimate? Is it 600,000-800,000 for that total? Or is it the weekend they feel like they get 300,000-400,000? I can't remember what those numbers are.
I don't know. I've never actually looked at those numbers. It wouldn't surprise me if it was like 300,000-400,000 though.
But if you've ever been to that event, inside or outside of that day, you know how packed it can be. The idea that they're comfortable enough to say this far ahead of time that, yeah, we're going to be good. We're going to be back to the Texas State Fair. That's great because we know that the jewel of that Longhorn football season is always that game in Dallas, back to where it needs to be, and then it'll be packed again. It'll be a truly packed crowd because not only did you get to see the wasteland version outside, but it was all socially distanced inside, wasn't it? Didn't y'all have to stand in your little groups and pods and things?
We did, yes. And the silver lining to that, Chad, is at one point we decided to just go sit on the 50-yard line in the other side of the stadium where we saw there was a huge block of seats that had not been sat in the first half. So we went and sat 50-yard line for the second half, about 10 rows up, and that led to me being able to pace from goal line to goal line during the overtime sessions to get to actually watch what was happening as the action was coming closer to me before ultimately, unfortunately, the Sooners won that game.
Yeah.
But it was cool getting to walk the stands of the Cotton Bowl for a Texas OU game that ends up having, what, two or three overtimes.
That's wild.
Couldn't do that under normal circumstances.
No, you could not. But I'm glad normal circumstances will be back because there's not much in college football from a scene perspective that can rival what it is when Texas and Oklahoma get together. Hopefully by the time we get there, it'll really matter. They'll both be highly ranked, and it'll be an even more important game, which kind of gets us into our first conversation today, Trey. I heard the Triple Option guys talking about this yesterday. Heard Bucky and Aaron talking about it this morning. The story kind of got out after our show yesterday, but a lot of people that follow recruiting know the name Quinn Ewers. Mm-hmm. Quinn is the quarterback from South Lake Carroll who was in the state championship game this year. I think they may have played a team from around here. I'm not sure how that game came out. People in Westlake can tell
LBJ,
me.
LBJ, perhaps?
I don't think it was LBJ. I think it might have been Westlake. The Westlake folks can maybe tell me how that game came out. So Quinn Ewers, even though that game didn't go his way, a lot of others did. And he is a highly touted quarterback prospect. He has made his choice, not signed yet. He's a 22 kid. Of course, but he's made his choice to go to Ohio State. And in an interview with 24/7 Sports, they asked a question about why he changed allegiances. And remember, he was a Texas commit at one point. He decommitted and then committed to Ohio State. His answer is what everybody's been talking about the last day or so. And his answer was, quote, probably because a Texas team hasn't been in the running for a national championship in a little while. And I don't know about other guys, but like me, I just want to compete at the highest, highest level. Obviously, one day they will get back there and it'll be great. But right now, I'm just tired seeing that happen. End quote from Quinn Ewers.
Okay, well, he didn't say anything that was incorrect right now, Chad. And we hope that Steve Sarkisian can be the answer, the coach to get Texas back to national prominence, but it's still unknown right now, especially for this next year. So I'm not upset with him at all. I mean, it's a bit sobering to hear those things coming from a kid who grew up loving the Longhorns and does want to see them succeed, that he doesn't necessarily think it could happen on his watch or that it would be much more difficult on his watch. I do think also that there is something else at play with Quinn Ewers and why he decided to flip that is no longer the case here in Austin, though. The fact that Tom Herman was the coach here at the time, and Tom Herman rubbed the Ewers family the wrong way.
That's true.
And so I think that even though he still said this, there's a chance that we see Quinn Ewers flip back to the Longhorns before it's all said and done. Now, what would that take? It would take Texas likely competing for, if not winning, a Big 12 championship and being in the national championship conversation, the college football playoff conversation. I don't necessarily think those things are going to happen this year. I think that this Texas team is still at least a year away from competing along those lines. So if that's what happens and Quinn sticks with Ohio State, best of luck to him in Columbus. I know that he's not rooting against Texas. He's not trying to take a shot there. He's just trying to be honest about why he did something. Yeah. And so it's up to Texas to change those fortunes.
Yeah, I mean, the facts are the facts here. He's also another guy that's going to, if he ends up at Ohio State, he would join names like Okuda and Dobbins and Garrett Wilson, who have ended up at Ohio State. So it's not just Bama and Clemson that are taking these guys out of Texas. We know that. And again, when he says a Texas team, he doesn't just mean the Longhorns. He means state of Texas. They've had seven versions of this college football playoff, four spots apiece. That's 28 opportunities. And there have been no teams from the state of Texas fill any of those spots.
And the closest was your boys this last year.
That's true. And if you expanded the playoff a little, a fifth-seeded A&M would have been in a discussion. Mm-hmm. If you had had a better system back in the day, TCU or Baylor would have been in to play for a national championship. That horrible thing in, what, 2014 is when that happened to them?
Right.
So no spots have been taken by Texas teams. Between Bama's been in six times, won three titles. Clemson's been in six times, won two titles, four times for Ohio State, and they've won a title. So Bama, Clemson, and Ohio State have won six of the seven championships in this format. So think about Quinn Ewers' age. Let's say he's 18 right now. That would mean that, what, Colt McCoy would have been, what, 11 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Am I doing the math right on that?
Yes.
Okay, so he's, what, seven when Colt McCoy's doing that? And when Vince Young is doing that, he's two, three? Yeah. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, he doesn't remember that.
So he doesn't have, he's not going to have a memory of Vince. He barely has a memory of Colt. And this would help to sort of, you know, maybe explain why he's doing what he's doing. If your whole thing is I want to go and compete for a national title right now, there are three schools to argue for, and there's another one I would throw in, and it's also Texas's problem, the Longhorns specifically. Mm-hmm. It's Oklahoma. They've been in four times. Now, they obviously have not won the thing. They have not even been to the title game, if I am correct. But at least they've been there. They've been the representative four times. So that's what Quinn Ewers is essentially talking about. So let us know what you think today. Longhorn fans, Aggie fans, heck, whatever, TCU fans, Baylor fans, whoever it is, there have been teams that felt like they had a chance to grab a hold of it. But we'll keep saying it, Trey. This state is up for grabs, and that's why Quinn Ewers is saying what he's saying. It's up for grabs in terms of the in-state schools because the biggest talent – seems to be headed to one of three places.
Yeah, and it's not just Quinn Ewers either, Chad. We're going to talk a little bit later in the show, coming up at 1:30, about how the transfer portal is really changing how teams go about recruiting high school players now, too. It's interesting. It's definitely happening at the college basketball level, but it's happening in football as well. But speaking of the transfer portal, you can see just how valued a destination Texas is right now by looking at the Athletics transfer portal top 50. So the top 50 prospects who were in the transfer portal at one point who now have a new team, you go down the entire top 50, which, by the way, the number one guy is running back Eric Gray, who went from Tennessee to Oklahoma. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You look down the top 50, though, Texas doesn't have a single guy that they landed.
Wow.
There were a couple that they gave away, including Keontae Ingram, who is now, of course, at USC. But in terms of getting guys here, not a single one of those guys chose Austin as his final destination.
Somebody texted what Garrett Wilson said about Texas before going to Ohio State was more scathing than what Ewers said. I would agree, because Garrett Wilson talked about development. He was talking about he didn't see receivers being developed at Texas.
He wasn't wrong about that.
No, he was not.
Certainly didn't help that the position coach at Texas at the time was trashing all of his current players and how poorly they were developing, too. Thanks a lot for that one, Drew Merringer.
Trey, somebody else texted us. Did you guys hear Paul Feinbaum say Texas is no longer relevant? Said Trey, don't play devil's advocate and agree with him.
They're not relevant right now.
It depends on what you mean by relevant, but from where Paul Feinbaum is sitting, he's sitting in a world that will always be a part of the college football playoff discussion. And if you're saying it that way, no, they're not. If you're discussing the brand name and revenue and all that, well, Texas is relevant. Texas A&M is relevant. They're like one and two on that list.
Just strictly talking on field right now.
If you're talking on field.
They are not relevant.
They are neither of those teams that I just mentioned are relevant in terms of a college football playoff, a serious college football playoff discussion, until each of them deals with the Crimson Monster in the closet.
A&M is more relevant right now, as much as it hurts me to say that. It felt like Texas was about to get relevant again after that Sugar Bowl win over Georgia, but unfortunately it didn't happen. And now here we are at the start of another reset. And I think I'm more confident with Steve Sarkisian in now than I was when Tom Herman came in.
Mm-hmm.
And people may have a hard time believing that. Ask anybody around here. I was asking questions at the time that nobody else was when Tom Herman got hired. I feel better about Sarkisian at Texas than I did Tom Herman, but he still has a ways to go. There are still a number of areas that need to be fixed on this roster. And I think he did a great job of avoiding the trap that a lot of other coaches end up basically harming themselves with whenever they get hired to a new gig, and that's bringing too many guys aboard that you're comfortable with in terms of your position coaches. Steve Sarkisian hired a fantastic staff, and I think they can get it done. They can develop guys. They can come up with a good game day plan, and they can really adjust on the fly regarding whatever the other team is doing to you on game days. But that all still remains to be seen, and they have some things in front of them right now with this upcoming season that are not insurmountable necessarily, but they're going to be difficult things for them to overcome just with regards to their own roster. You have a very thin amount of depth on your offensive line. The starters look like they can be pretty good, but inevitably injuries happen. The wide receiving core leaves a lot to be desired in terms of playmakers. The linebacker position is thin right now. Yeah, you got brought guys in on the transfer portal, and hopefully those help, and hopefully a guy like Deli Adeyewe announcing that he's returning to the football team, hopefully that helps out as well. It remains to be seen. Now, you have a great defensive line in front of you. You have some talent in the secondary, but there are legitimate enough question marks on both sides of the ball right now that I think even starting to believe that this team is going to win a conference championship this next year is a little bit of fool's gold. And I'm somebody who usually likes to take the fool's gold in my hand and roll it around a little bit in the preseason. I just watched what this football team looked like in spring ball and realized that I need to reset my expectations right now, at least for this very first year.
When it comes to your Texas Longhorn football team, you are a fan of the summer romance. You're a big fan. You have been summer romance guy these last few years, which is why I'm kind of hoping you counteract this year, because you've picked them to like play for the conference title in years where they've fallen a little bit short.
Well, I picked them to play for a conference title when they did.
They did.
Versus Oklahoma.
One of the years when you picked it, they did.
But last year I did pick them to end up in the college football playoff, as did a number of national pundits, mind you.
Yes.
And that wasn't even close to happening.
Yeah, because the truth of this season is going to be, right now, if you had to bet on how many teams in the Big 12 are better than Texas. Is it two? Is it three?
Better than Texas right now?
Because I know there's two. In my mind, there's two for sure.
Two for sure. And I think an argument could be made that at least two others are as well. But I think that Texas is in that second tier.
Mm-hmm.
But within that second tier, there are at least three, if not four, teams there. And what happens when you play competition in your same tier? You don't tend to sweep those games necessarily. You win some and you lose some, on top of likely losing to both of the top dogs in the conference. So Texas very easily could be staring at an 8-4 season. That would not be the end of the world. That would upset some people. People have higher expectations than that. People would like to see 9-10 wins this year. That's fine. I mean, think optimistically about things, but also understand the reality of this year's situation might not lend itself to that.
Yeah, so if you have thoughts on it, let us know on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Quinn Ewers' comments obviously being discussed by Longhorns, but I'm sure it's being discussed around the entire state. It's being discussed by Aggies, too, and then those other schools that are maybe trying to get themselves into positioning. Those are the two schools, obviously, that would have the discussion right now, like Trey said. In terms of what we've seen the last couple of years and what Jimbo Fisher's done, you give the Aggies the respect of they're around that top five marker last year, so they're in the discussion, in the neighborhood, and Texas obviously trying to get there as soon as they can, get back to that area. But you got to get to a point where a five-star kid who's at South Lake Carroll, like this isn't the old days, Trey, where everybody ignored Drew Brees. That's not what we're dealing with here. You have to have as many badass quarterbacks as are coming out of this state. You cannot have quarterback after quarterback thinking what he said, much less actually saying it to people.
Well, by the way, the kid who beat him in the championship game is in the Longhorns' backyard. And I understand that unlike Ewers, he did not grow up a Longhorn fan, but right, he is choosing to go to Clemson.
Yes, he is.
So one of those guys is going to Ohio State. The other is going to Clemson. You have a five-star kid out of California who some people are higher on than others, but you just need to make sure that you hit with that kid if you are choosing to pass up on these other two.
Somebody texted in about Arch Manning. That's going to become a big name for Texas fans if they can get that kind of dream commit to, you know, go against his SEC roots and come to Texas. That one would be huge.
Arch is one of those guys that I'm guessing is going to wait to see how things play out this year before making a commitment to Texas.
Yeah.
I would assume that.
Yeah.
Anybody who's in that position right now is going to be in wait-and-see mode with the Longhorns.
That dude's going to have some wild choices to make.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on that kid.
We have some big news out of college basketball, Chad.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
You hit the...
It's worthy of a sounder? Like, is it that big? Is that big a deal? What we got going on?
Yeah, Coach K is planning on retiring after this next college basketball season.
Whoa. Yeah, that's big.
It was first reported by Jeff Goodman. He is finalizing a search process with university officials to name Duke's associate head coach, John Shire, as the coach in waiting.
Oh, wow. So they're getting right to the who's going to be next. I was just about to say, does he get to pick? I guess he does.
He does.
Whoa, Coach K is going to retire. And who now? John, what? Who was it?
Shire.
John Shire.
Former skinny white point guard for them,
okay.
I believe.
Wow. I was just about to say that's a big domino to fall and everybody will go beneath it, but apparently they've already got their guy. Coach K going to step down after next season. You know who's excited to hear about that, Trey?
Who?
Every official in college basketball.
Yeah, right?
Boy, nobody's been on them like Coach K for years. All right, we'll take more of your thoughts on the Specs text line at 337-3776. Also up next, a little NBA update for you. Mavs trying to stay on top of the Clippers. That series is evened up. They're trying to get back up 3-2 tonight. Plus, big news out of Boston today after that series ended last night. Stay with us. We'll tell you what the Celtics decided to do. I guess you got to take the job, but I am not sure if you're ready for it. We'll tell you about it on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
I dig it, man. What if water was part of the band? Who's this, Drake?
It is New Music Friday on a Wednesday, Chad.
All right.
And it starts with Modest Mouse.
Okay.
Leave a Light On.
Modest Mouse. Another one of those bands I think you're way more familiar with than I am.
I am.
Big fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
One of their albums, it's titled Good News for People Who Love Bad News. Wonderful name.
It is a great name. That's one I got to listen to. You've said that multiple times,
yeah.
And I've never committed myself to it.
It's in my 10 most favorite albums of all time list.
Ah, wow. Top 10. That good, huh?
All right. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a selfish list for me. It's the albums that mean the most to me, that I'm most familiar with. Would other musical people put it in their top 10? No, probably not, but that's why it's a list special to me, Chad.
All right. New Modest Mouse is out there. Somebody, how dare you? How dare you, big Crit fan?
Yeah.
What's K-R-I-T? What is that?
Crit. It's a Big Crit is a hip-hop artist out of New Orleans, I believe.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I wouldn't say anything rude. Big Crit fan has sent a picture of the wall at Kyle Field back in the day when the Aggies claimed championships that they did not actually earn. Now, this one, actually, the picture that he sent us is accurate. This would just be making fun of the claimed national championships, which the Aggies should have been claiming for years, but they only claimed it when they went into the SEC. That made it look suspect. This is before the Aggies went in and claimed, oh no, I'm sorry. No, he's right. He's right. This is when they also claimed those conference championships that weren't real.
That's not good.
That's the bad part. The national champions was one thing. So this is what I referred to back then and now as the wall of lies. Thankfully, the wall of lies no longer exists. They eventually ripped those letters and numbers off the wall. And in the new updated version of Kyle Field, it nowhere says that they won conference championships in those particular years. So that's good. All right. So we did definitely talk some college football. The Quinn Ewers comments and what it means for the state of Texas, what it specifically means for the Longhorns. And we just had the late breaking news that Coach K is going to be retiring after this upcoming basketball season. Apparently, Chris Bennett says it's John of the Shire is replacing Coach K. But yes, John Shire, one of their assistants, apparently is going to be the coach in waiting. We'll see if they can pull this off. Not many coaches in waiting have worked.
Good riddance, by the way. I know some people are going to shed a tear that Coach K won't be with us in college basketball after this next season. That guy has needed to be gone for a little while now.
Step on his sports grave before he's even gone, huh?
Well, he would step on plenty of other people's graves, so I don't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, he would. You're right. All right, a reminder to go to hornfm.com for all kinds of opportunities, including tickets to go see some rugby out there at COTA, Bold Stadium. Go see Austin Gilgronis taking on the Toronto team. Also, speaking of things that might get a little dirty and grungy, how about Knotfest? The Knotfest Roadshow 2021 featuring Slipknot and Killswitch Engage is coming to town out there at COTA. They'll be here October 28th. Everything goes on sale June 4th. Go to hornfm.com, visit the contest page, get yourself registered for those tickets.
Knotfest. I feel bad for the other bands that their name is not invoked in the festival.
Nah, I think they just need to be glad they're there. Just be glad Slipknot invited you out.
All right.
That's a heavy day right there.
Yeah.
That's a day that's, like, I'm just going to tell you, way too heavy for me. You understand that, right? And that there's no way I could get through that whole thing unless I was doing it out of principle.
Is Slipknot one of those bands where all of the members wear masks on stage?
That is correct. All wear masks, and in some cases, the goal of the performance is to make yourself sick.
Huh?
At times, the goal is, especially when it's really hot, their goal is to, like, headbang so much, play so loud, play so hard, that they vomit inside the mask.
Ew.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Do they clean the mask after they do that?
I don't really know about the mask cleaning procedures. I'm just telling you what I've heard them discuss in interviews before.
Do you think we're less likely to see bands like that now after what we've all been through over the last 15 months, now that we can take off our medical masks?
I don't know.
That less bands are going to want to keep their faces covered up like that, much less puke into their own mask.
I know. I'm looking forward to Masked Intruder being back on tour. No. I guess they'll still wear their masks, too.
You, Rick, and nobody else.
That's right. No, we've recruited his wife. Wife of Sacamano is going to go. She'll be there with us.
Okay.
Speaking of Mr. Sacamano, he is kind of the reason for the dream. So coming up in the crab bag, I'll tell you about the Mike Tyson documentary part two. Plus, when you close your eyes, do you dream about Trey Elling? Well, I don't normally, but I did recently. And Rick Sacamano is kind of responsible. So I'll tell you what happened coming up in the crap bag. But we do have not only breaking college basketball news, but big pro basketball news today, Trey. It is done in Boston for Danny Ainge. Last night, Brooklyn beat Boston, cleaned it out 123-109, and they advanced to face Milwaukee. So today, Danny Ainge has been fired or stepped down or whatever you want to say as the president of the Celtics. But to me, the story is the guy replacing him.
Mm-hmm.
I am fascinated to see how long this lasts. Is it really him?
Yeah, Brad Stevens taking over in that role. I think the titles are a little bit different, but he's essentially going to be GM and head of basketball operations. So now he's responsible for the personnel that he has been complaining about all season long. And, Chad, I have to say, yeah, I'm disappointed. I love Brad Stevens as a basketball coach. I hate that he's no longer going to be on the sidelines.
I assumed he would just remain as coach or get fired and they'd replace him.
Well, he had just received a thumbs up from the front office, I want to say within the last week. It was definitely within the last week. I mean, they obviously just ended their season last night, but recently I read something about him not going anywhere, like him staying with the Celtics, and technically he is staying with the Celtics. He's just not going to be on the sidelines anymore, and I think that takes away from what is his greatest strength as a basketball guy, and that's just how much of a strategy guy he is on the floor. I think he's as good of a coach as there is in the NBA, and unfortunately we won't get to see that anymore.
Yeah, we'll see if his demeanor as a coach is one thing. Does his demeanor work in the front office? He'll now be a part of hiring the new coach.
Right.
Right? So Brad Stevens takes over as president of the Celtics. Obviously, it's a legendary team. And Trey, what I think this is, it may just be as simple as Kyrie Irving, they ultimately let him get away from Boston, and Boston is maybe sort of fighting back with Danny Ainge here. I mean, their only crime is one of their best players got hurt. Their second best player got hurt and didn't play in the series. And they just got beat by a super team.
Yeah.
That's probably going to beat everybody. Like, I can't stand the Celtics. I will enjoy any pain they experience, but was it that big a deal?
Yeah, I don't quite understand why these moves are being made, but sometimes you just reach the end of a line with of a position. And Danny Ainge has obviously been through a lot of good with the Celtics, and maybe he's ready for that next challenge now.
By the way, before we break here, let me give a little credit to Denver and Portland. I was thoroughly entertained last night. Double overtime. Damian Lillard, late in a game when you need a shot, that is the guy. Now, I also saw one of the worst foul calls I've ever seen in my life that prolonged that game.
Mm.
We'll put that aside for a second. But that bank shot in one of the overtimes, the big threes that he hit 12 of 17 from three. That's a new record now. Klay Thompson had the record at 11. He's now made 12 threes in one playoff game.
That's silly.
Unbelievable stuff.
And his range is ridiculous, too. He and Steph Curry are the best shooters in the league. And I've been saying for a couple years now, like, if I were to have to pick one guy that was the most entertaining dude in this league for me to watch, and now, admittedly, I don't watch a ton of NBA basketball anymore, but Dame Lillard is where that conversation begins for me.
Oh, he's amazing. And speaking of amazing, the battle back and forth, once that game got close between him and Nikola Jokic, was amazing. Watching Jokic last night, 38-11-9 is where he ended up. There's just not anything a center... you'd want a center to do that he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. I wouldn't have him take as many as he takes. But Trey can nail him. And then he's got the soft touch in the lane. And you know what he is from the free throw line? 87%.
Wow.
I mean, you're just checking boxes everywhere. Gets up top, passes the ball, does whatever you need him to do. He is awesome to watch. Those two guys back and forth last night was fun to watch.
He showed last night why he is likely going to be named MVP of this league when it's all said and done this season.
Yeah, that ain't my granddaddy's center right there.
No.
We didn't make fives like that back in the 80s. Like, there was some of them that had little ingredients of it, but like Kareem couldn't do all that.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Walton was a version of that, but Not the problem. One of the things with Jokic, too, is that he doesn't look like a guy who can do any of that stuff.
Nope.
He just looks like, even with all the weight loss, he just looks like a big galoot out there on the court. And then he does that, and the ball handling, and the passing, and the shooting, and just all the intangibles that he brings for his team. And let's remember, this is a team that's operating without their best perimeter player, with Jamal Murray out for the year with that knee injury, too.
Good point, yeah. That was a crazy reminder as I'm watching that game. Like, oh, my God, I forgot. Jamal Murray's not even playing. Mm-hmm. That was a huge moment last night because that put them up 3-2. So congrats to Jokic. Now, the one thing Jokic is doing right now, Trey, that I know you don't like, and I don't love seeing it either, my man is starting to argue calls in the middle of a play. Not even at the end of it. Not even as the other team's going back down the floor. He was arguing at an official last night before he made his move. Thought he got slapped, which he did. But it's like he's arguing, then he turned to make the move. He almost made the argument a part of the move. That's a little early for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was like, that's taking the complaining to a new level.
It was like, move, move, bitch, move to the line.
Well,
you know,
moves
going
so,
to the basket.
He moves so slowly, he has time.
He does.
In his defense.
Yeah, he does. Oh, man. Three good games, not all good games last night. That one was good. Lakers got blown away. Brooklyn won easily. Tonight, four games, two doubleheaders, staggered if you want it. Washington and Philly on NBA TV. Then Atlanta, New York starts on TNT 30 minutes later. Then at 8:30, it's Memphis and Utah. And Mavs fans, 9 o'clock. I got my Mavs shirt on today. I don't know if it's going to do any good. 9 o'clock, TNT, back at Staples. Maybe this is good news, Trey, because the Mavs were good at Staples for the first two games.
Yeah, home court advantage has been a bit of a disadvantage in these NBA playoffs this year. Perhaps later in the week we can delve further into why that is, because fans have returned. You would assume
that
would boost these teams and what they're able to do at home, but it's having a reverse effect so far.
And the biggest thing tonight is Luka Doncic even close to 100%? What's that? What is it, a shoulder, elbow? What is it he's going through?
There's a neck issue
that seems like
it's a little bit of a nerve issue as well, that's affecting his arm strength. This is unfortunately something that is going to likely torpedo the Mavs season, but hey, hopefully he can shake it off tonight. These are not usually the sorts of injuries, though, that you just get rid of after a couple of days.
No doubt about that. All right, there's an NBA update for you. Up next in the crab bag, I'll get you a documentary update. The Mike Tyson documentary finished up last night. I'll give you my thoughts on that. Plus, the dream that I had about Trey Elling. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
If you need some new music, Trey's got some for you today. What do you got, Trey?
How about new UB40, Chad?
There we go.
This is Message of Love.
Question is, who did it first? I'm sorry. That's probably rude.
Probably not UB40, if we're being honest about it.
I don't know that they are strictly a cover band. It's just that their most famous songs are covers.
Yeah.
There's two or three of them, so I don't think I'm being too mean on that one, but I can hear it now. Got a UB40 vibe to it.
Yep.
New UB40 is out there if you need it. All right, before we get into the crap bag, more breaking news today. It's the breaking news show. First we had the Danny Ainge is out in Boston and Brad Stevens is taking over as president. No, I'm not kidding. In the NCAA, Coach K says he'll retire after this season, and apparently they're going to set up John Shire to be the next guy at Duke. And just in the last few minutes, I see this update from the NBA, and it's bad news for you Philadelphia 76ers fans. I'm sure there's a couple out there listening. Joel Embiid, torn lateral meniscus in the knee. He's out for game 5 for sure. They're saying no surgery. They're going to try to go therapy here. And Trey, they're talking about it's all about the swelling. It's all about the pain in the knee in terms of when he can. That's massive. This is a team that tonight will try to, you're trying to kill a Russell Westbrook team without your best weapon. Now you're at home tonight and you better finish it. This better end in 5. All the other Philadelphia 76ers, you better step up. Tobias Harris and the crew better be ready to play. Otherwise, Russell Westbrook may be about to dig his way out of this.
Get ready for more hack of Ben Simmons.
Exactly. Did you catch that action late in that game?
Yeah.
He is a terrible free throw shooter. Now, he's not quite Ben Wallace bad, but he's bad. He's bad enough.
And if you need to scratch and claw your way back, if you're the Wizards, of course you're going to implement that strategy once again. But if Washington can find a way to win tonight, watch out. Philly is going to start to squeeze. It would shock me if he truly does have a torn meniscus. This is an injury that usually takes, Chad, anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks to heal, and that's assuming it's not the bell flap variety of meniscus tear, which does require surgery. I only know because I've torn my meniscus twice, and I know that how difficult it is to move on that knee. Now, you can still walk around on it, but in terms of engaging in physical activities, it's a much different story, in part because you just can't bend the knee. Like, the knee has no flexibility.
Man, I wish him well. There's too many hurt and too many injuries right now in the NBA. One of the main reasons the Lakers got blasted last night is because Anthony Davis did not even play. All right, so there are your updates. We'll keep those coming for you today. Let's jump into Crap Bag, and we'll talk Tyson.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
And I'll have Trey try to break down the dream I had about him. But first, Mike Tyson, the documentary part two was last night. It's brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or avconsultations.com, bringing you the Crap Bag every day. They finished it up on ABC. Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. My one critique would be, it was an hour and 53 into last night before Mike Tyson sat down to do the new part of the interview.
Wait a second. So with 7 minutes left?
Yeah. That was a little disappointing. Now, look, I understand he's done a lot of interviews. They showed a little bit of the Bernie, what's his name, from HBO Sports, where he told Bernie Goldberg, I think is his name, where he told him he had to leave. And he got emotional because they were talking about his daughter dying. There was the interview with Jeremy Schapp, where Mike finally admitted that he'd been sexually abused as a kid. Mm-hmm. And the emotions that went all over his face when that happened, and the stare down between him and Jeremy was just incredibly emotional to watch. But I thought once I saw him sit down and talk a little bit, I just thought I was going to get a little bit more. It was still cool to see Mike. It was still cool to see him and his son at the end. Overall, it was a good documentary, especially if you don't know anything about Mike Tyson. If you're a younger sports fan, maybe you're into boxing a little bit, but you're like, who is this Mike Tyson guy? What's going on? I know he has a one-man show, but what's the deal? They do a good job over 4 hours explaining to you what the deal is. And Trey, this episode reminds me, because they kind of start with the post-Douglas fight, and then going into the situation in Indianapolis and him ultimately being arrested and, you know, sent to jail. But the reminder of how bad a job Don King did of taking care of Mike Tyson, how bad a job he did of setting up the legal defense, and to hear years later the reiteration of what their defense was is staggering to me if I'm Mike Tyson. To this day, he's been as honest as anybody. He's been honest about everything, but I do not believe, Trey, Mike Tyson has ever admitted he was guilty. Mm. I don't believe he's ever said he did it. And he's admitted a lot of crazy things. And his therapist in this documentary said, oh, Mike told me at one point, look, I didn't do that, but I did plenty before that maybe I should have gone to jail for. Mm. So maybe this was the, you know, me being punished ultimately for it. But that part was really interesting to rewatch. Go back and check that part out. If you're into the sort of legal proceedings and how you set up cases and things, the way they put together Mike Tyson's defense, it was almost like Don King was punishing him for losing to Buster Douglas.
Oh, wow.
Because this was after that loss, and maybe Don King just thought, well, he's not worth saving. He's not worth I guess we won't deal with it. You would have assumed in 1991... Don King would have gotten the greatest lawyers on the face of the earth. It would have been like a Johnny Cochran for OJ situation. It was not. That is not what happened at all. But a great documentary overall. Would have liked a little more Mike. In fact, what I would have liked was two parts of the documentary. Then come back with like a 20-minute, just you and Mike.
Sure.
Or a 30-minute or something like that. But I love Tyson. He's such a bizarre, crazy, awful in some ways, great in some ways, flawed human being, and I'll watch anything about Mike. So, all right, Trey, let's get to this dream. Are you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
I go to the Sacramentos last Saturday. We're trying to feel normal, and when you're at the Sacramentos, the risk of drinking dark liquor is always there. So, because my man is a whiskey connoisseur. Mm-hmm. So we ended up drinking some, like, 12-year-old scotch, some kind of blended scotch, so I didn't know exactly how old. A blended scotch. We tried this Howler Head whiskey, this banana-infused whiskey that UFC has been pumping, and I like the logo. So there was dark liquor consumed.
Howlerhead, so monkey head?
Howlerhead, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's got a monkey on the logo on the thing. It was good. And I don't normally drink that manly. Normally, I'm a little more of a girly drinker, and you know I'm a more of a clear liquor guy. I'm a vodka guy.
That's true. If it's not Coors Light, it's going to be vodka.
Yeah, I go with more of that side. Anyway, so I realize, you know, we're going serious here. I've got my wife driving me home. She's my DD always. Gets me home, and I go to sleep, and I have a dream that I've never really had before. The dream involved you and scorpions.
Okay.
I've never specifically dreamt about scorpions, and they were dropping from, like, spider webs, like single-strand spider webs. Like, and I don't believe scorpions have the power to do this in real life.
But thank God.
Somehow they were using, like, little ropes and little, you know, and they were coming down from the ceiling, and I was really freaked out. But you were your normal, just robot-faced, you know, calm self. They were getting on your arm. They were stinging you. And I was trying to help. Trey, there's one right there. Dude, it's okay. I've got it. It's all right. It's okay. You were very calm. The scorpions were getting you. They were trying to get at me. And it literally was like a flash of about a three-minute dream. Everything was like dark and sinister. Scorpions, you, and then it was just over. That's what the dark liquor did to me. I've never dreamed about scorpions before.
So we've come to learn over time that the reasons why we dream, and there is an evolutionary reason why we dream, is to help us deal with memories and also emotional processing, too.
Okay.
So is there a situation that you and I have been through over the last year? As I say that, I'm thinking COVID in my own head, where you've been freaking out and I've maybe been a little bit too calm for what the circumstances are.
I don't know. Maybe. Is it COVID? I don't know. And, is that the replay of the COVID stuff?
And perhaps there's a little bit of a fortune telling going on here with regards to me and me not treating something that's life and death as seriously as I should be.
So I don't know if this is a message for you or me. I'm just telling you what I dreamed.
I don't like scorpions very much. I had to kill one in our house the other night, and scorpion sting is not going to kill you per se,
no.
But it still doesn't feel very good.
It does not. It hurts like hell, and they're tough to kill, too. You got to be careful when you kill a scorpion. You got to make sure they're dead.
I smacked that thing with the bottom of a flip-flop until it was in several different pieces.
Yeah, if you're going to go with the put something on top of its body and let it sting itself to death, you can do that. Just be really sure it's gone.
Put something on top of its body?
Yeah, you can just press down the front of its body, and then it's going to try to sting what's pressing it. So ultimately, it ends up stinging itself.
God, scorpions are evil. They're so evil, they will sting themselves to death in the right circumstance.
Yeah, apparently you can make them do that. Or you can just crush the whole thing. Just make sure it stops moving.
Oh, I hammered that scorpion.
Yeah, just like a snake, man. They'll keep trying to strike at you. So that is the dream I had. Nothing crazy, nothing salacious, nothing sexual or weird. It was just scorpions. I've dreamed about snakes before, but I'd never dreamed about scorpions. So thanks a lot, Rick Sacamano, for your dark liquor dreams.
Did you guys eat some, like, not even psychedelic mushrooms? Did you eat some mushrooms that night, too, though?
No mushrooms. It was a mixture of the dark liquor. There was shandy involved. There were other beers involved. And there was also a shot of the dark liquor on each end for me.
Mm.
It was bookended. That Sacramento is not good to be around if you're trying to stay nice.
Yeah.
If you're trying to stay sober.
That would have gotten me, too. I probably would have been to a point of blackout at some point.
The only good news is I was smart enough that when he took two shots at the beginning of the night and two shots at the end, I just did one each. I knew to do half as much as he was doing.
But he can also hold more than you, too.
Oh, yes, he can. Yes, much more of a tolerance than I have. So there you go. There is your crap bag for today. Mike Tyson documentary. It was on ABC. I think they're going to put it on Hulu, so go check it out. Both parts, very, very good. All right, coming up, your 1 o'clock hour, Justin Wells of Inside Texas joins us to talk Longhorn recruiting. Maybe we'll ask about these Quinn Ewers comments, and also get his thoughts on a couple other things as we continue to get closer to Texas football. And recruiting has opened up in every crazy way possible. We'll get his thoughts on it. Stay with us. It's The Horn.